So the children of Israel have come out of Egypt by the Lord's mighty hand. The first place he took them to was the Red Sea. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Baptism is a part of our salvation process. And as we leave Egypt, this world, we must go through the baptismal waters. So once the children of Israel had gone through the Red Sea, they rejoiced before the Lord in their deliverance from Satan and their enemies. Can anyone remember where is the next stage of the journey? Where did God lead them next after the Red Sea? And what was the first major place they went to in the wilderness?
Tomorrow.
Yes. Amen. Well done, Polycarp. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. And Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw the tree into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation. And he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, to do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Amen. So Moses leads Israel from the Red Sea into the wilderness. For 3 days they go through the wilderness, and they find no water. If you go 3 days with no water, will you be thirsty? You will be very thirsty. No doubt they had some supplies of water with them. But after 3 days, the water is probably dried up.
So
they will be thirsty. And finally, the pillar of cloud leads them to Marah. And there is water. What do you think the people thought? Praise the Lord, God has redeemed us. God has led us to water. But the waters were bitter. Useless for anything. Did God make a mistake? He led them by his cloud to Mara. Why didn't he take them straight to Elim? At Elim there were 12 springs. More than enough for the congregation to drink. Did God not realize that the waters of Mara were bitter? Of course he knew. These things were written for our example, for our instruction. He knew everything that was going to take place. It was all a part of his great plan to teach us vital spiritual lessons we need to learn. God purposely led the place to a made the people go to a place where they felt their need. He made them really feel that need, then seem to have met that need. But actually he was not. You can imagine them thinking, "Are you trying to trick me, God? Why did you make me feel thirsty, then seem to give me water, but actually it was bitter?" That seems unfair, God. But God was testing them. And he tests us in the same way also. A test is not a test unless it is easy to do the wrong thing. And it's because it becomes easy to do the wrong thing which makes a test a real test. Amen.
Amen.
God deliberately put them in a difficult situation. Right at the start of their faith walk. To see how they would react. Which indicated what was in their hearts. A difficult situation. In which it would be very easy to do the wrong thing. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. David, the young shepherd boy, was being chased by King Saul. David had done only good to King Saul. But instead, Saul hated him and wished to kill him. And he tried to hunt him down and kill him. And there came a time when Saul was chasing David with 3,000 men. And it says that he came to a cave. And Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. This was the man who was trying to kill David. God has promised David to be the king one day. He's been anointed. Now the very king of Israel is standing right in front of him. And David's men know if he can kill Saul, he can take the kingdom. God has led him here, David. God wants you to strike him.
Saul.
Behold, this is the day the Lord has said to you, they said to him. I am about to give your enemy into your hand. You shall do to him as seems good to you. You can imagine his men saying, go on, David. This is your chance. We can't fight against 3,000 men. But here he is on his own. He came to our cave. God is delivering him into your hands. So David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. He did not stretch out his hand to kill Saul, because he knew this was not God's way. God delivers Saul into David's hands. His men encourage him to kill Saul. Give him many spiritual reasons why he should do so. But it's all a test. If David had struck Saul, he would have failed the test. Because he would be operating in his own strength. But he chose the way of Christ to lay down his life to obey the law of God. He knew the word said, touch not my Lord's, the Lord's anointed. How can I touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? It was all a test. And David passes the test. It was easy to do the wrong thing. But by God's grace, David chose the right thing. Straight after baptism, there is the principle of testing. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, did he go straight out preaching the kingdom? Where did he go?
Went to the wilderness.
Yes, wilderness. He went into the wilderness where he was tested by the devil for 40 days. He went to the waters of Mara in the wilderness to go through the test. And he passed the test. And it was the Spirit that impelled him to go into the wilderness. Because unless we have been through Mara, we will never get to Elim. Amen. Jesus passed the test. And it says when he came out of the wilderness, he walked in the power of God. And the Spirit of God had come upon him in power. And news about him spread everywhere. He went through Mara and came to Elim. And the power of the Lord was upon him. But that's because he passed the test. What about us? If we get tested in the wilderness, what are we going to do? Pass the test or fail the test? Amen. Back to the people of Israel at Mara. God was testing them after their baptismal experience to see what was in their hearts. And from their response, it did not go too well for them. 3 days before, they were dancing and rejoicing before the Lord. Now they are grumbling against his servant Moses. Amen. God tests them right at the start and reveals the lusts and the pride hidden deep in their hearts. If you are constantly reacting negatively and badly to situations, that is revealing something that needs dealing with in your heart. Their hearts became embittered against Moses, the man of God. An embittered heart is a dangerous place to be in. Mara is not a nice place to be. The wilderness of testing was not a nice place for Jesus to be. Yet we need to go through it if we are ever made to make our way through the wilderness and onto the promised land. Amen. Mara means bitterness. And specifically represents a bitter heart that stunts and a believer's growth. May well prevent them from making it to the promised land. In Proverbs chapter 20, and verse 5. The plans and counsels in the heart of a man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. The thoughts, plans, and counsels of the heart are like deep waters. When the waters are sweet, so the plans and counsels and thoughts of the heart are sweet. But when the waters are bitter, the thoughts and plans and counsels of that heart are bitter also. Mara represents the person where bitterness has become the prevailing thoughts and plans and counsels of their heart. Are you stuck at Mara? Are you a spiky person? Are you constantly reacting with anger? It may be that you are stuck at Mara and you have an embittered heart for some reason. Many people have bitterness in their hearts. Bitterness that people have not appreciated them. My husband went off with another woman. How dare he go off with another woman? I hate him. And I hate that woman, I want to kill her. Bitterness in the heart. My wife does not respect me. She doesn't treat me as other women treat their men. She nags me all the time. She wears me down. Again, why? Getting bitter. Maybe a brother was more popular than you. Maybe he was got a better job and a better education than you. Maybe he has more friends than you. Maybe your sister was more beautiful than you. All the men wanted to marry her and not you. I hate my sister. Why is she so popular and not me? Why does my neighbor's field produce better crops than mine? I work harder than them and their field is better than mine. Jealousy and envy. Bitterness in the heart. You're stuck at Mara. If you get stuck at Mara, will you ever get to Elim? Or get to the promised land?
No.
Maybe the pastor started a church in your town. Why does he need to start a church in my town? He's going to take some of my people. I'm hardly surviving on the tithes and offerings. Look at him, he's talking to my people from my church. He's trying to pull them away. I hate that man. I turn up in church and half my congregation is gone. And I can hear them down the road praising God in his church. I hate that man.
It's
bitterness in my heart. God will put you into situations in your life. God may have sent that pastor to start a church in your town. To reveal what is in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
And how do you pass the test or fail the test? Do you bless your brother? Or do you start talking to people? Don't go there. He's a bad man. He's just after your money. Don't go to his church. Stay here. The blessing is in this church. Manipulating. Do we pass the test or do we fail the test? Amen.
Amen.
Why do things always happen to me that are bad? When my husband left me, and he went with that other woman, why didn't that woman die? Why didn't God strike her down? Maybe I need to strike her down. I'll mix her a good soup. Put a bit of poison inside. Mara was the first stage of the journey. Because it is speaking about a very important aspect of our lives that needs to be dealt with before there can be any progress in our Christian walk. Bitterness hardens the heart very quickly.
If
if you do not deal with bitterness, you will stay camped at Mara. And that bitterness will start to poison you from the inside. And that poison will start to poison every bit of you. Will it start to affect your health as well? I've seen people full of bitterness. Their hands and their start to get twisted with arthritis. Because the poison on the inside is starting to affect their body on the outside. Unless we learn to go through Mara, we will never find the Lord as our healer. There are many in the church today who have come to Mara but have gone no further. Because they are not willing to let past resentments go. I will not forgive that woman. Why should I forgive her? She took my husband. Why should I forgive that man? He cheated me of 50,000 shillings. Why should I forgive him? I want my 50,000 shillings back. And I'll get it back if I have to. Bitterness in our hearts. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by many it are defiled. You see, bitterness becomes a poison in your heart. It changes how you speak to people. You start to spread that poison with your words. And you start to cause trouble with your words between people. And it starts causing offense and troubles wherever you go. Jesus says, forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive others their transgressions, your Heavenly Father will also forgive your transgressions. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. There are many people in the church stuck at Mara because they refuse to forgive someone who has wronged them. And they can think of all sorts of reasons why they should not forgive that person. They cheated me. I was wronged. It is just to strike back. I should have justice against my adversary. And we are unwilling to forgive. The Apostle Paul spoke to the Corinthian church. And he said, why does one brother take another brother to court, to the judge? He says, why not rather be wronged? But as it is, you try and fight against your brother. The fact that you have lawsuits among you means you are already defeated already. You are defeated because you are remaining at Mara. And until you learn to forgive and release offense,
you will
go no further than Mara in your life. When I was a young boy, I felt my father did not treat me very well. And I had a hatred against my father. And I would look nice on the outside, but inside I would hate him. Then I became a Christian. When I was 16 years old, I got baptized. I determined to follow Christ. And almost immediately God started to speak to me about my father. How I had a root of bitterness against him. And I could justify my bitterness all the time. He treated me wrong. He did this, he did that. But praise God, I responded in the right way. And I forgave him. He wasn't there, I was there on my own. But I forgave him, said, Lord, I forgive my dad. Anything I had against him, I lay down. And I release him from this unforgiveness. And the person being released was me. Because of that, I found I came out of Mara. And I went on to Elim. Because I learned to forgive. How about you? So what happened at
Mara
to allow the bitter waters to become sweet? What happened? Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. If you find some bitter waters somewhere, and you just find a branch of a tree, and you throw it into those waters, will those waters become sweet? No. Naturally speaking, this will not happen. But God is an unusual miracle. Because he wanted to teach us how to deal with the bitter waters. God shows Moses a tree. What does the tree that gets thrown into the waters represent? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What does the tree represent?
Christ.
The cross.
The cross.
The cross of Jesus Christ. The tree represents the cross of Jesus Christ. That piece of wood on which our Savior was nailed. Upon which he took the sin of all mankind. The tree upon which he experienced the full outpouring of God's wrath. When he took our punishment in our place. A cross and tree that uniquely deals with the ills of mankind. That cures the bitterness in his heart. In a way that nothing else can. The Bible says, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Maybe there were many trees around Mara. Many trees Moses could have chosen. But the Lord had to show him a particular tree. Man has many trees and many ways that he thinks he can make the bitter water sweet. Some people think, if I get more money, I will be happy. If I get a better position, if I become a bishop, not just a pastor, I'll be happy. Because people will respect me. And the bitter waters will be made sweet. Other people try to whip themselves, atone for their own sins. Maybe if I punish myself a bit, then God will be pleased with me. In some churches today, you need to go to the priest and say, "Father, I have sinned." And they say, "Don't worry, go and just say 5 Hail Marys." Whip yourself 3 times. And then you'll be saved. You'll be okay. This is not the cross of Jesus Christ. These are dead works. These are the trees and ways of men. Amen.
Amen.
There is only one cross. And it is the cross of Jesus Christ that crucifies our old flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus says, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Are we sitting admiring the cross? Or are we taking his cross upon ourselves and walking with him? Following after Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Said that Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Unless we cry out for God's salvation, cry out to have the bitter waters made sweet, we will never see the tree that God wants to show us. The cross of Jesus Christ that will actually do the miracle in our hearts. That will make us a new man in him. Until we learn to truly desire God's salvation above all else. We will always see the cross as something good. But not as something I must carry in my life today. Amen.
Amen.
Moses cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. And what did he do with that tree? What did he do?
Throw the water into the water.
Okay.
The tree into the water.
So the tree had to enter into the waters. Until the tree is thrown into the waters, they would remain bitter. until the cross of Jesus Christ is applied and thrown into our hearts, into the plans, thoughts, and counsels of our hearts, they will remain in bitterness. Until we decide to start to follow after the cross of Jesus Christ, to live our lives in light of what He did for us, the cross, the tree will never come into the waters of our hearts. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? By laying down His life for the church. How are we to apply the cross into our hearts? By laying down our desires and our demands, and instead putting our wife before ourselves. This is not the first reaction of our flesh. Our first reaction is to say, you woman, do this, do this, do this. Be my servant. But the Bible says to lay down your life for your wife. This is applying the cross to our hearts. It is throwing the tree into the waters, the bitter waters. The Bible says that the woman, the wife, is to respect the husband. But how many wives are talking against their husband? Saying, ooh, he thinks he's this and he thinks he's that. Trying to put him down. Is this the way of the cross? No, the way of the cross is to lay down our lives. To speak good of our husband. We may not like the way he behaves every time. But we must respect him. Because Christ told us to do this. And this is the way of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Until we humble ourselves, swallow our pride, and forgive those who have wronged us, we are not allowing the cross to enter the bitter waters of our hearts. That man did me wrong. I hate him. I'm not going to release him. I'm going to hold this grudge against him. I'm going to punish him by holding this resentment against him. We feel it's our way of striking back. We feel if we forgive them, we're letting them off. We're letting them get away with it. But Christ said, forgive. Humble your pride and forgive. If you need to go to your neighbor and say, I forgive you, then do it. Humble your pride. This is the way of the cross. And until many people will do that, they will be stuck at the waters of Mara, wondering why God does not use them, why they never experienced the overcoming Christian life, because they've stopped and they've camped at Mara. And if you camp at Mara sorrow, you will never get to the promised land. When Jesus was nailed onto the cross, he was giving his life as a ransom for many. He was paying for the sins of the elders and the chief priests who were mocking him. He was being disgraced and ashamed by the Roman soldiers who he was forgiving, who he was atoning for their sins. Did Jesus ask his Father to send angels to destroy them all? To destroy his enemies. It was unjust the way they spoke to him. It was unjust that he would be nailed to a cross. He had done no wrong. But what did Jesus say on the cross? Anyone remember?
What you are asking, Father, forgive them for they Amen. Are doing what they are not known.
Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. This is the way of the cross. Jesus did not deserve anything of what happened to him. Yet he showed us this is the way of the cross. This is the way of the tree entering into our hearts. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When Stephen was being stoned by the Sanhedrin, he had only spoken the truth to them. Did he go to his knees? Did he say, Lord, Father, strike them all down? What did he do? Father, forgive them. If you are preaching the gospel, and some man comes with a gun to shoot you, what do you do? Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does. If it is your time, then go out in the right way. Amen.
Amen.
This is the way of the cross. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32, the Apostle Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? By staying at Mara. By allowing bitterness, anger, and wrath, and malice and envy and jealousy to stay in your heart. This is how we grieve the Holy Spirit. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, you will never experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit being released upon you. You will never get to Elim, where there are 12 springs, because you'll be stuck at the bitter waters, getting more and more poison from the inside. Be kind to one another. Remove the leaven, remove the malice and the bitterness. But instead, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Not hard-hearted, but tender-hearted. Maybe they didn't mean mean me ill. Maybe they didn't mean to cause me grief. Love always thinks the good of all situations. Be tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. This is not a suggestion, it is a command. If we are to walk from Mara to Elim, we need to forgive anyone that has wronged us. The next verses say, be imitators of God, therefore. In other words, he forgave us whilst we were still sinners, so we should forgive those who have sinned against us. And as beloved children, walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you as an offering and sacrifice to God. If we are to follow Christ, we must follow his example. He issued no threats from his mouth, but he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And instead of trying to get his own back, he prayed to the Lord instead. And he chose to forgive rather than to hold on to resentments. He chose to walk in love. And until we choose to walk in the way of love and put others before ourselves, to be quick to forgive, we will always be stuck at Mara, being poisoned more and more. God says, if you will do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. We are no longer under the letter of the law. We do not have to obey the whole Old Testament written law. But we do walk according to the Spirit. And the law of the Spirit is now in our hearts. And the law of the Spirit says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible calls this the royal law that we are to keep. We don't keep to the letter of the law, but we are commanded to love the Lord our God. And upon these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. What is the law we are supposed to live by? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. If you hold on to unforgiveness in your heart against a brother, if you have hatred in your heart towards another person in the church, are you walking in love towards them?
No, in a diet working my conquidana enony.
No.
Matwalba no ipe.
The Bible says if we say we walk in the light, yet we hate our brother, we walk in the darkness. Is there anybody in this room that you can think of and that you immediately feel unforgiveness against that person. Is there anyone in the church that you can think of that you have unforgiveness against that person? If there is, you need to deal with it immediately. If God moves your heart, you should just move and deal with it immediately. Don't even wait for me to finish preaching. The Bible says if you are giving your gift at the altar, and you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Leave whatever spiritual thing you think you are doing. Go and be reconciled to your brother. Then present your offering. Because until you do so, your offering is not acceptable before God. You are stuck at Mara. Brothers and sisters, if you have anything in your heart against a brother or a sister, you need to go to them and deal with it. And it's when you deal with it that you will break through from Mara and advance to Elim. Amen.
Amen.
It's only those who make it through Mara that will make it to Elim, where there are 12 springs of water and 70 date palms. Elim represents the place of fruitfulness and fullness of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the 12 springs of Elim. And keep on being filled. The number 12 represents completeness. 12 apostles of the Lamb, 12 tribes of Egypt. Where there are 12 springs, this is the completeness of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4.
John 2:14.
Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain, a spring of water springing up to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Have you received the Spirit yet? Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? If you're stuck at Mara, you will never enter into His fullness. When the Apostle Paul found some disciples at Ephesus, he said to them, have you received the Spirit since you first believed? They didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They were baptized into the name of Christ. And Paul laid on his hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit for empowering for works of service. Elim is the place of fullness and completeness. It is the place of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they camped there beside the waters of Elim. Where are you camped today? At Mara or at Elim? God will only lead you to Elim until you've gone through Mara first. Have you learned to forgive? Have you laid down your pride and taken up the way of the cross? Allow the cross of Jesus Christ, the tree, to enter into your heart. And to shape your life. Have you forgiven? Because unless you forgive others, God will not forgive you your sins. The one stuck at Mara will never enter into the promised land. They will always be stuck at Mara, being poisoned on the inside. Be tender-hearted and forgive one another, as Christ has also forgiven you. And if you need to do that today, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with it today. If you have to ring someone up, do it, that you may go on from Mara and into Elim to experience the fullness of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.